Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
I wonder how you would describe the Book of Psalms and the role they play in your Christian journey. One preacher talks about the Psalms in this way. The Book of Psalms is like a medicine chest for our souls. In it, you can find lament for the downtrodden, cries to God in trying times, and offerings of praise and thanksgiving. Whatever ails you, you will find balm in the Psalter. And while there are more Psalms of lament in our Bibles, for this Meals for Maturity series, we've been focusing on the explosion of praise that we hear in the final five Hallelujah choruses at the end of Book 5. Five ancient songs given to God's people in the Old Testament and now for Jesus' people in the New Testament, really to help us journey with joy and to praise God now and into all eternity. And these closing five psalms are showing us that praise to God is the ultimate goal for God's people. In fact, as we'll hear, it's actually the goal for all creation. Praise is what our breath is made for. We praise what we treasure, and in this case, our Creator, our Redeemer, the Judge of all the earth. I enjoy the songs of Ginny Owens. She sings, "When there's no cloud in the sky, when the world is on my side, and I feel your hand in mine, I will praise you. And when my day becomes a night, and I cannot see your light, I will walk by faith, not sight, I will praise you." Now, Ginny Owens has this great depth of theology and faith because she's been blind since the age of three. And yet she's able to write songs of faith to help us praise God through times of blessing, but also through times of darkness, and in her case, literally living in darkness, but walking in the light of the Lord. And to be able to praise God, whether in song or prayer or even through various forms of art, to praise God even in less than ideal circumstances is really the mark of maturity for any follower of the Lord Jesus, to have a thankful, praising heart despite what's going on in our lives and around us is really, that's really the essence of growing to trust God more and more this side of eternity. So how are you going developing your praiseology, or doxology is really the proper term, doxa being the Greek word for glory. For all theology needs to lead to doxology. And that's why we have lots of doxologies across the New Testament. Look out for them next time in your personal reading. Here's one of my favourites from Paul in Romans chapter 11. "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Or remember how "Hey Jude" ends in the New Testament, verses 24 and 25. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever." Great doxologies you'll find across the New Testament. Well, before we hear this final praise psalm in our Bibles, I want us to think back to the very first psalm. Have a read sometime if you don't know Psalm 1. But Psalm 1 and Psalm 150 have the same number of verses, that's 6 in each of these psalms, both short and memorable psalms. Psalm 1 begins with the exhortation for us to delight in God's word. Psalm 150 ends with the exhortation to delight in God, his word, his deeds, his greatness. Psalm 1 begins with Book 1 and God blessing us. Psalm 150 ends Book 5 with us blessing God. And in between these bookend psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, we find every emotion and experience and the ongoing call to worship the living God who has revealed himself in Scripture, and ultimately, of course, in the New Testament, the Word becomes flesh. And as we hear Cherub read this final psalm for us, listen out for the only verb used across the six verses in Psalm 150. The verb is praise. It's pretty hard to miss, pretty hard not to miss. And listen out for the 10 hallelujahs, or praise God in English. 10, of course, being a Bible number for completion. And then listen out for the sound of seven instruments being played. 7, of course, being a Bible number for perfection. See, Psalm 150 really is the great hallelujah chorus, well before Handel comes along, and much better than the strange lyrics of a Leonard Cohen.
Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Okay, now here's a simple outline for Psalm 150. Four questions, all answered for us by our unknown psalmist. So verse 1, where to praise God. Verse 2, why we praise God. Verses 3 to 5, how we praise God. And then verse 6, who is to praise God. And let me unpack these questions in order to help us go on living a life of praise. Well, verse 1 reminds us that while we gather each week for church and lift our voices and tune our instruments and plug in microphones and set up PowerPoint slides, all the things we seem to need in this day and age, that while we praise God in song at church, that this is not the only place where the hallelujahs are happening. We read, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Just as Psalm 148 reminded us, while we praise God down here below on earth, up there in God's sanctuary, what we tend to think of as heaven or God's domain, we read that all of God's heavenly choir is belting out the great hallelujah chorus. Verse 1 is the basis, of course, for the great hymn you probably know and have sung at times. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When we ask, where do we praise God? The answer is given, well, God's worshippers are here below and above ye heavenly hosts. God's glory and praise is to fill the universe, seen and unseen, humanity and angelic beings. Well, the gospel glimpse I've been referring to across previous Psalms can be seen for us with how the last book of our Bibles applies verse 1 of the last Psalm in our Bibles. Remember Revelation chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, we read, John says, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Well, now it's every creature above and below lifting their voices as they fall down in praise to the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins. And then verse 2 gets us thinking, why do we praise God? Well, the simple answer is because of His greatness, or if you like, His excellent greatness. See, across 149 other psalms, we've been given evidence and reminders of Yahweh's many great deeds, starting with the creation itself, through to the creation of His very own people called to holiness as He is holy. The Psalms are always looking back, always remember to never forget, especially the great creation story of Genesis and the great recreation redemption story of the book of Exodus. And each time God's people are to remember God's mighty deeds through His mighty, powerful word. And then we're commanded to lift our voice in praise and thankfulness. So often we go through life praising all the wrong things, don't we? It's the essence of idolatry. That is putting something or someone in place of our Creator and expecting this God replacement to do all the things we long for. I enjoy from time to time some parody songs that come along every now and then. Parody songs make us take note of how silly and sometimes how stupid we can be as a human race. You know, funny parody songs like Eat It instead of Michael Jackson's famous song Beat It. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or it's fried, just eat it. Or you might know the Nickelback parody song, Look at this Instagram, Eggs Benedict, Side of Ham, started out as a lemon tart, then my phone went and made it art. You might have heard the parody song praising the wonders of owning an iPhone. Buy your mum a phone, it works with everything that we own. If you want to cure cancer, pretty sure our phone is the answer. It'll solve third world hunger, it'll go on to bring world peace, and so forth. Christian writer Steve McAlpine captures the slogan of the new iPhone really well when he writes, Newphoria, that euphoric feeling you get with that initial dopamine hit when you open the box of your new iPhone 15 and see it in all its glistening glory. It captures our hearts, our wills, our loves. Newphoria is deeply theological. It reminds us that we were built as creatures of desire, but made to desire God above all of the things that He has created. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. You know, we laugh at parody songs, but so often they make fun of what we think of is important or grand, what we tend to idolize, what we think can be savior-like and praiseworthy. But Psalm 150 reminds us of why and what we are to sing praise for and to, and it certainly isn't anything we create or we build or that we make. And moving beyond the Old Testament pages of Psalm 150, the New Testament story reminds us of why we praise God in an even fuller, grander, more complete way. You see, if the Old Testament looks back at creation and redemption, well, the New Testament calls us to look back and forward to our redemption and the new creation to come. And of course, it's all about the Lord Jesus. Again, the book of Revelation helps us apply Psalm 150, verse 2. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Why do we praise God? Well, because of his greatness, his excellent greatness in the gospel of all grace, shown to us because the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, makes ready his bride and washes us clean and clothes us for eternity. And the message of the psalmist is, you know what? We cannot praise God enough. We'll never tire of praising him once we come to know and understand all his mighty acts toward you and me. There is to be no limit to the praiseworthiness of our Lord and King. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then verses 3 to 5 of Psalm 150, we ask, how do we praise God? Well, the answer is loudly. And with seven instruments, not including our voices, which of course is the best instrument God gives to his people. One writer, a reserved Presbyterian at that, puts it like this. Psalm 150 is showing us that we need to throw in the kitchen sink to praise God with everything we have. And I would add, along with the sink, why not grab some saucepans as well, and then you have a cheap and nasty drum kit ready to go and praise God with. In the case of this psalm, we're told about the music that accompanies our praise. Not that we always need music to praise God. Please don't fall into the error of some modern church thinking where we equate praise and worship always to be about singing in church. Yes, praise and worship are the songs we sing, but if you read your Bibles, you'd see that praise and worship is so much more than singing and playing instruments. But here in the psalm, it's a good reminder that God blesses us with music and songwriters and gifted servants to play various instruments to the glory of God that help us really lift our voices in complete praise to our triune God. And in the case of this psalm and verse 4, our praise with God's people can be in the form of dance, which we also saw in Psalm 149, and you also see in most African churches. Now, in most Aussie churches, dance has been reinterpreted, of course, to mean stand and don't move a muscle. Your feet are going to be on the ground. Stand in the place where you are. Your head is there to move you around, so stand. But I don't think the atheistic band REM is really singing about church singing or standing at that point. Now, in some church circles over the years, there have been lots of debate and ink spilled over the types of instruments where to use in a church setting. I know people who have left churches because of drums being played at church. I know other people who don't go to church because the organ is no longer played. I once went to a church where they didn't play any instruments except for the instrument of your voice. Other churches I've attended have the music so loud that you can't hear the words being sung, even coming out of your own mouth. Sadly, it's been a sorry tale when Christians divide over the instruments played or not played when we gather for church. But surely Psalm 150 and other psalms remind us that musical instruments are culturally conditioned and time appropriate, and ultimately an instrument is to be really used in singing praise if, number one, it doesn't hinder your voice in rising in unity and harmony with others, and secondly, if it isn't distracting us from the true purpose of our songs and praise. I have a missionary friend in an overseas country who is learning new instruments and songs in culturally relevant ways to really help God's people in that country deepen and enrich their praise to God in song. Now, it would be totally inappropriate, and not to mention the height of arrogance and pride, for these missionaries to come along and say to their people group, "Well, at my church back in Sydney, we used a drum kit and an electric keyboard and a celloist to play this song, so let's work out how to do that here. And of course, we must sing In Christ Alone, and it's got to be in English." You see, our music in our churches today may sound very different from King David's time, and that's okay. But surely this psalm shows us that God loves hearing our worship through music. And if our music is to be God-honoring and praising Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, that is, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, then our instruments and the playing of them needs to be God-focused and glorifying and helping all of God's people lift their voices as one. And our culture and our time and our buildings will often determine what this might sound like. Modern hymn writers Matt Papa and Matt Boswell, apparently you need to be called Matt to be part of their church band, I think, these two guys give us their version of Psalm 150. Track it down sometime. If you've never heard it, you'll be greatly blessed. They sing, "Praise the Lord, sing his greatness, all creation praise the Lord. Raise your voice, you heights and all you depths, from farthest east to west, you distant burning stars, all creatures near and far, from sky to sea and shore, sing out forevermore. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And on their website, they explain their reason for writing this song or basing this song on Psalm 150. They say, "The Book of Psalms beautifully and famously shows the breadth and depth of human emotion. With this song, we wanted to emphasize the power of how the Book of Psalms culminates in overwhelming joy and praise. I think in 150 being the final psalm, God is teaching us something. That sorrows are real, Confusion will happen, the journey is long, but it all crescendos in praise. There is an exclamation point. Joy is where we are headed. The world knows it, the seas know it, the mountains know it, and we can get in on it. Which brings us to the final verse in the final psalm, and that is with the question, who is to praise God? Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got a snapshot of this everything, didn't we, back in Psalm 148, if you can remember. Here we're reminded, if God gives breath to any of his creatures, then praise to God is to be our duty and delight. Remember again, Revelation 5, verse 13, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. In Revelation 5, this is a poetic reminder showing us that our breath is to breathe forth praise. Everyone and everything is the who in our psalm. And I mentioned back in Psalm 148 how I think the creation breathes out praise to its maker. From the birds that sing, to bees that buzz, to cows that moo, to stars that twinkle, if you listen and look closely with ears and eyes of faith, you will hear Psalm 150 echoed loud and clear across the creation. Well, applying this crescendo praise psalm through the gospel lens reminds me of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which you might be familiar with. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, all of life is to be a Psalm 150 moment. Not that it means we sing every moment of every day, but our praise is to be directed upwards and eternally as we continue to be shaped and renewed by the hearing of God's word day by day. You might be familiar with the Dutch Prime Minister Abraham Kuyper when he gave a speech back in 1880, opening a university in Amsterdam. Now, my Dutch is terrible, so here it is in English. He says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And that's the reminder and the application of Psalm 150. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, he reigns. Everything, he cries, mine. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this short series on these five psalms. Thank you for listening. Let me close with this final quote. When the psalms are part of our spiritual life, they are absorbed into the fibres of our souls. We ought to wear the psalms like a garment. And when we do, they will not grow threadbare. Quite the opposite. The Spirit will reweave their fabric with each new reading.
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.